Thank you for that winter melody. We all love winter. The winter activities like ice skating, cross country and alpine skiing, snow play, enjoying the ice festivals, visiting those close by and those far away, staying in cozy cottages during the winter, or singing songs like Winter Wonderland, going for winter walks, sleeping longer hours, enjoying bright, cheery smiles, fellowshipping with believers, eating winter foods that are good for you, that is, and many, many more. We have a comparison here of some winter activities with the Feast of Tabernacles, which was originally supposed to be kept and will be kept in the future, according to Zechariah 14. Zechariah, or as I call it, Zechariah. And I titled this part of the message, and Tinsel and Holly at the Feast of Tabernacles versus Christmas and Easter. On the one hand, for Tabernacles, which is normally kept around October, and it's a commanded festival by our Almighty Savior, actually. So one of the things is that people love to please Yahweh. They hopefully become joyful during the Feast of Tabernacles. So that's maybe a new concept to you. Now, you've heard of Christmas. People like Christmas to become happy. For example, in the song, Have Yourself a Merry Christmas. And then in the Feast of Tabernacles, Yahweh commands us to celebrate his feasts, found in, and this is addressed to all Israelites, to all who have been grafted into the good olive tree. This is found in Leviticus 23, Numbers 28, and Deuteronomy 14. On the other hand, the celebration of the winter solstice and Christmas originates in sun worship. It is immersed in idolatry throughout, and there's no command to keep it. Back to the Feast of Tabernacles category, believers can gather for 8 days at the Feast of Sukkot Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles. For Christmas, church is usually closed to visit unless it's a Roman Catholic or Lutheran church. But many of the evangelical Protestant churches are sadly closed for their big holiday with the intent that you could have more time to visit your friends. But, think about visiting our Savior. Now, at the Feast of Tabernacles, at supper, at breakfast, and at lunch, they frequently talk about scriptures. They talk about prophecy. They talk about living in the kingdom. It's a blessed time. And we can see that type pointing forward from Nehemiah, or Nehemiah chapter 8, for example. During Christmas, people gather to talk about tinsel and holly, about the lights and the tree. And they drink and give themselves presents, as opposed to those who talked about the scriptures. And, we don't want to go around saying, well, we're perfect, we're angelic. Because nobody is perfect. Now, there are none righteous. No, not one. That's found in the third chapter of Romans. The Feast of Tabernacles, feast day, inspires us to love our Creator, Yahweh, and to obey Him. Christmas inspires us to break the 10th commandment, to covet things. At Tabernacles, the Savior quenches our appetites every day. He quenches our appetites. Christmas creates an insatiable appetite for more. And to return merchandise, I want something different, something better when we, return things the day after there, the 26th of December. But at Tabernacles, the Yahweh's commanded feast, we give to the poor. We give tithes, second or third tithe. We give to the poor, and you return praise and love to our Almighty, found in Numbers 27, Numbers 18, Hebrews 7, and Malachi 4. This is not an all-encompassing message about Tabernacles. We're just going to kind of keep this a little bit short here, on this program here. It's actually about winter, But Tabernacles is right on the hinge of winter before it season changes into winter. Sometimes at the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, or the last great day, it begins to snow. At Tabernacles, we will not wear gay apparel, but only clothing commanded, scriptural clothes. In October, we won't freeze to death. Songs are written by David the Psalmist and by Moses. At Christmas, caroling makes you feel good inside. We sing songs by Irving Berlin with gay apparel. But at that time of year, in Jerusalem, in Israel, your toes would freeze. The Roman New Year is in the dead of winter. The months are set up by a Pope Gregory, and the days begin in the daytime begins at midnight in the dead of the night. We could see Galatians 4 about the holidays. Paul says to the Galatians, to the Greeks there, that you observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you my labor in vain. That's found in Galatians 4. We could also read Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah talks about idolatry there. And it's interesting that the Messiah was born during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Sukkot there, the Feast of Booths. And there's much more to look at that in depth, but this is more an overview. But once again, as far as winter is concerned, we love the winter activities, ice skating, cross country, and alpine skiing, and many things that happen at that time of year, that kind of, when it gets cold at winter time, we want to pull together, and people get more affectionate, a little bit warmer toward one another, I think, at this time. There's also a dark time of year here, a time of depression. But remember, we read there earlier this hour, Psalm 147, verse 16, we talk about our mighty Creator, how He sends the snow in all its lovely whiteness and scatters the frost upon the ground and hurls the hail upon the earth. Who can stand before His freezing cold? Psalm 147. And then we'll have some more songs, Psalms, the book of Psalms here, in a few minutes from now. And at this moment, I want to thank you for joining us. How have we developed, and I don't want to drive anybody away. You know, we want to keep you here. The reason you're listening is because you're interested in what we have to say, and I really do appreciate that, and I want to respect you and each and every member here today for joining us on this radio broadcast. But how is it that we have developed into a rebellious people as a whole, you know, as they were sometimes referred to as the house of Ephraim? We are a rebellious people of the house of Ephraim. Well, I have a theory that it begins when we are born in the hospital these days, at the same time that we become emerge from the womb, at that same time as newly born infants. We see a bright blue glow in the room. What is that bright blue glow as I emerge from the womb? It's a television. My mother is watching a television set, as if a medical assistant thrusts a remote control, television remote control, into my tiny fingers and advises, "Here, kid, learn how to push buttons. You'll have 200 channels in the whole world at your disposal." So the media hasn't been all good to us. It hasn't been real good to us in regards to keeping us on the straight and narrow there, and keeping our eyes focused, our heart focused on the heavenly Messiah. Well, that's one of the sadder things about media, television and radio and pop music and pop culture. Jeremiah 6 says, "Thus saith Yahweh," Yahweh being the King of Kings, the Mighty One, our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, Stand you in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the great way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But what did they say there in Jeremiah 6? They said, we will not walk therein. All the world is being inoculated by pop music, by pop media. Now we're in the church encouraged to just party or rock on for Jesus. Personality churches are springing up. Oh, there's problems everywhere, you know. This isn't happening everywhere, but regardless of whether the pastor has a talented presentation, the leaders sometimes package up a speaker to have the emphasis on popularity. And recently I saw this happen in a place mainly for young adults only, which was apparently the marketable church demographic. And the music there was a bland medium of rock and roll in the church. The speaker volume cranked up way up to override the thinking process of people in the congregation. And wearing ear protection didn't seem to help. It was just way, way loud and overrides your mental process. So we have a lack of separation from Babylon. We've mixed truth. We've mixed some truth with error. In our circles, in church circles, we've mixed truth and error to catch the attention of susceptible participants. I'll get my tongue out of the way there. We're mixing truth with error anyway. And the motto, it's all good, it's all good. Or we hold on to that theology called the so what theology. But Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, has the states the problem, states the answer, and the cure. And the cure will be found by reading the Word. Let's go to Revelation chapter 18, if you would with me. I'm going to read most of this chapter 18 in the book of the Revelation. That's the very last book. And after these things, I saw another messenger come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his esteem. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. The bird there is still being unclean in the New Testament period. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now here's where it comes to these winter festivals that are from sun worship. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Once again, that's found in Revelation 18:3. The merchants, you know, that's the biggest festival of the year at the time of the winter solstice around December 25th. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through religious things, events. And then he said in verse 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and that you receive not of her plagues. The same parallel or like scripture is found in 2 Corinthians 6:17. And then we'll come back here. But if you want to just listen, you don't need to necessarily turn there. You could read it within the textual context, but it's still going to come out the same as I'm going to read it here. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith Yahweh Almighty. That was 2 Corinthians 6. So back to the Revelation chapter. Her sins have reached unto heaven, and Yahweh has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double her double according to her works, in a cup which shall be filled to her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she says in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am not a widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Death. Oh, don't remind me of that. Death and mourning and famine and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is Yahweh who judges her. And the kings of the earth, here, listen up now, if you weren't, but be attentive here. The kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. What is Babylon? I think perhaps it represents the modern society of today. Modern cultish devotees all hopped up living on espresso. Well, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with coffee, is there? But getting all hopped up, you know. And even in religious gatherings, some wine, sometimes too much wine. And lately, outside of the church circle, the concealed use of pot, that drug marijuana, which sometimes causes arrogancy and a yo-yo manifestation. People become haughty, pushy, and puffed up as if by yeast. It is high time to have the pure spirit remove the leaven of malice and wickedness from our lives, from our hearts, from our spirits, and hearken to the sound of the trumpet. That's from the scripture there. Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. Come out of her, my people. But what did they say? They said, we will not hearken. And, you know, back on this theme here in a moment of winter, as we'll go to the book of Psalms, but let me finish up on Revelation, okay? It talks about the merchandise of these merchants that are not following the way of our Savior, of our King of Kings. The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, and on it goes. Verse 14, the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all these things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her, by Babylon, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city, clothed in fine linen and purple scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. That could represent even the city of roses in Portland. For in 1 hour so great riches are come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and their trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her torment burning and saying, what city is like unto this great city? I didn't want to single out the Rose City, but I did there, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. It could be Jerusalem. Jerusalem is sometimes equated with Babylon because of the undesirable changes made there that are not good, following all kinds of religions. And here it should have been the pure faith that was once given to us, the faith that came by hearing the word. And may he bless you today. So they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city, wherein they were made rich, that all they had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Verse 22, the voice of harpers and musicians, pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more. I can just imagine there being no more radio, no more media. No more musicians, pipers, and trumpeters at all in thee, and no craftsman, whatever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries, or another word for sorcery is medications and craft, by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. So sorceries, craft, or medications or pharmakia, you know, over-the-counter drugs and drugs that have been slipped into our food supply. So the last verse says, "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." So there's some bad connotations there coming down, some judgment. Bad times could be coming for some, while the believers, if you know, you must be a believer, you wouldn't be listening. The believers can feel safe in the Messiah. You're the protected ones. You're the bride, and the Savior is the bridegroom. And there's one place where it's even mentioned that we are the jewels. We are the mighty jewels, and that's found in Malachi. But first of all, let me get through with this, the angry part, the anger and the punishment. Isaiah 13:14, I'll just read that. "I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease." So we talked about arrogant, those on some drugs or something or another that causes us to get conceited. "And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and lay low the haughtiness," haughtiness or arrogancy, or the conceitedness of the terrible. "I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir," found in Isaiah 13:14. Isaiah, my favorite chapter and book. So Yahweh is now going to refine us in tribulation. He will make a man more precious than fine gold. Now that ties in with my Malachi scripture here that I found in Malachi 3. "But I'll make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir." So you are his jewel, not because you're listening here necessarily, but because you're seeking the Creator. You're seeking the Messiah, the one who died on the tree, the one who paid for our sins, for our offenses, who canceled the debt, the certificate of indebtedness that was against us and made it out of the way, according to the book of Galatians 2. Okay, here we go now. Malachi 3:16, "A book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name." And what is his true name? Huh? Well, we see the in the scriptures, in the Hebrew, and they read from right to left, incidentally, we see it's YHVH, or Yahweh. "They shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels." There you are, "when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them." So we're very precious, precious to Yahweh. You're precious. We all are. Hopefully I am. "And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves Yahweh and him that serves him not." So that gets into, you know, this saying here, "Don't judge me. Judge not yet, lest you'll be judged." Yet it says in John 7:24, Messiah said, "Judge righteous judgment." Don't just judge loosely and incorrectly, but judge righteous judgment, John 7:24. But this broadcast is not about judging here. It was supposed to be about winter. And in Psalm 74:17 then, 74:17 of Psalms, "Thou hast made summer and winter," it says. So there's just two seasons, mainly. Summer and winter, according to that scripture anyway, Psalm 74. Then Psalm 107:30, and I'll read out of the living scriptures here about that, and then we'll go to Psalm 55, but 107, somewhere around verse 30. Sometimes we back up and read the one before that, and the one after it or something. Okay, tell me again now, 107 verse 30, good day to you. Thank you for joining us here in Teddy's Media Radio. "He calms the storm and stills the waves." He calms the storm and stills the waves. What a blessing to that stillness as he brings them safely into harbor. Oh, that these men would praise Yahweh for his loving kindness and for all his wonderful deeds. Let them praise him publicly before the congregation and before the leaders of the nation. So we don't just hide the fact that we're a believer. I keep hearing this criticism, oh, you wear your faith on your sleeve, or you wear your Christianity on your sleeve is another way they say that. But we're supposed to publicly praise him. It says in Romans 10:9, if we confess with our mouth Messiah and Yahusha, it says there in King James, Jesus, if we can confess with our mouth Messiah as the King of Kings and believe in our heart that he rose from the dead, then we shall be saved. Romans 10:9. Another theme about winter is found in Psalm 55, verse 8. So that was the one I cued you about there, gave you the heads up about Psalm 55. That should be another good winter verse. We're getting close to the end of this broadcast. So far, we have, without music anyway, we're 25 minutes into it. Boy, yeah. And we want to keep you too long here. So 55, let's start at 6. 55:6, over wings like a dove, to fly away and rest. I would fly to the far-off deserts and stay there. I would flee to some refuge from all this storm. O Yahweh, make these enemies begin to quarrel among themselves. Destroy them with their own violence and strife. What else there? I think that's where we'll leave off there. In the book of Titus, Paul said, I have determined to winter with you. He also said, 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 Timothy 4, I will come with all diligence to come before winter. He's going to come and stay with you. 2 Timothy 4:21, not with you, but with Timothy. And 1 Corinthians 16:6 was another winter passage that Paul there. And the book of Acts, Paul was wintering, and you talked about a place called Winter Harbor. Fairhaven, that was it, Fairhaven. One probably didn't have anything to do with winter. Paul was wintering in Acts 27, verse 12. Our Savior, Yahusha, Matthew 24, 12. Pray that your flight be not in the winter. So he did say that to us in regards to coming tribulations on the earth. When things really get to stirring and stirred up and get hot around there. So, okay, now we've reached the end there. We could go back to one of the other verses, Psalm 140. How about Psalm 148? I think we read that at the first part of this broadcast. And it says, praise Yahweh, O heavens, praise him from the skies, praise him all you messengers, or angels, all the armies of heaven, praise him, sun and moon, and all the twinkling stars, praise him, skies above, praise him, vapors high above the clouds. Let everything he hath made give praise to him, for he issued his command that they came into being, he established them forever and ever, his orders will never be revoked. And praise him down here on earth, you creatures of the ocean depths. Let fire and hail, snow, rain, wind, and weather all obey. Let the mountains and hills, the fruit trees and cedars, the wild animals and cattle, the snakes and birds, the kings and all the people with their rulers and their judges, young men and maidens, old men and children, all praise Yahweh together, for he is worthy. His esteem is far greater than all of heaven and earth. He has made his people strong, honoring his goodly ones, the people of Israel. That is you. Unless you're a Grecian, you had to have come out of one of the 12 tribes, or the tribe of Judah. People don't know that Yehuda too well. The people of Israel, the people closest to him. Hallelujah. There we go, or Hallel Yahweh, as we say here. Yes, praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. That was Psalm 148. Well, I'm Stephan Yah, formerly Chuck Weber from the radio station there in the Portland area, KISN Radio, back in the 70s. And we had a wonderful time being on the air back in that time, but I really didn't fully serve Yahweh as I'm now anyway, at least I'm closer than I was then, having I jumped in with both feet and really trying to serve Him and reading the scriptures and all. It's been a wonderful strong time, and there's been a lot of trials and tribulations. There's been a winter of my life that has been going on, but we won't get into that right now. So thank you so much. You can email me at chuck@yahvah.name. That's Yahvah is YAHVAH. Yahweh is YAHWEH.name. Or contact the radio station. Just hit the contact button, the email button there, and leave our man Ron Lee a message there, or he could pass it on to me. And another way is to write chuck@yahvah.name. And be sure and tell where you heard this broadcast. Thank you for joining me. Shalom.